Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Haggai, and the entire lesson is chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. I'll be reading for you verses 3 through 5 and then skipping to verse 9. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of armies. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Do not fear. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of armies. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of armies. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. I have a couple of samples here this morning that I want to share with you. A couple pieces of wood. And I'll show them to you together here. And then I'll show them to you individually and ask you a couple of questions about them. So we'll start with this one here. Y'all, you can't answer these questions. What do you notice about this particular piece of wood here? It's rough. Is that what you said? Oh, love. Oh, it says love. Yeah. Anything else?
It has a
weathered. It looks weathered.
It has a heart.
It has a heart. I almost picked up a piece of wood from their shop, but I knew that somebody was bringing this already today.
The heart's blue. Yeah, the heart's blue, she
said. The heart's blue. Yeah. Yeah, it does. It looks like multiple pieces put together. And it looks old. Faded, smooth, or rough? Barnwood. Yes. So, did I ask you old or new?
Old.
Okay. We'll put that one here for now. How about this one? I've got a mark on this one, carrying it around with me.
New?
More than one kind, smooth. It is a cross. So, this one does show that there were two different kinds of wood, and probably someone really good at it. I think it's probably walnut and pine, but I can't remember for sure. And we think this one is new and this one is old. Mom, as you're walking in here, may I ask you a question? You know what this cross is, right?
Yes.
How old is the wood?
Over 100 years old. Probably older than that.
My dad harvested the wood used in this cross from the first house that his parents owned and the first house that my mom's parents owned. So there's a good chance that this one might even be older than that one. Different kinds of wood. I feel like being a barn, what kinds of things did this wood see in its lifetime? Maybe hay, workers, animals,
bad weather,
and good weather.
Dirt.
Yep. Things growing on it.
Mud.
When I was their age, my grandpa had a barn, and we liked to go out there in the hayloft and jump down into the piles of hay, so it probably hurt her giggles. And all kinds of things. Now, the rafters of a house and the life that it has lived. Heard family dinners.
Tears.
Laughter. Birthday celebrations. Baby cries. Sheltered people from the things of life. Now, both of these items represent three buildings here. This one is an old barn that was torn down. It's not made to look old. It is actually an old barn that was torn down. And none of these buildings still stand, but there are pieces of them here used for a different purpose now. But each one, I think, a reminder of what Christ asks us to do, right? To love, because they both remind me of Christ's love. These pieces of wood remind me of this story that we heard from Haggai this morning, or this bit of scripture from Haggai, his ministry was about 520 years before Jesus was born. And the part that we heard today was about 18 years after Israel had returned to their homelands. They'd been in exile and had returned to their homelands. And when they got back to the land looked very different. That probably looked a little different than the places those came from, don't you imagine? Looked a little different than it did when they left. Now, Israel was also in captivity, in exile for 70 years. Is that a little while? Now, if we think about the timeline today, Miss Joanne was saying she's 80. And so we have 70 years of exile. And this particular scripture was 18 years after Israel returned home. That's longer than your lifetime.
That's right.
88 years. So Haggai wrote this into a people who had been taken from their homes and had returned to something that didn't look anything like it did when they left it. Now consider for a minute, if you were trying to tell somebody about something that you felt deeply about, something you love, could be a place, could be your favorite food, could be a person, could be anything. If you're trying to tell someone else about this thing that you love, are you going to tell them about the parts that aren't as pretty or as good? Or are you just going to remember the fond parts, the lovely bits? I'm actually surprised to hear people talk about the barn and talk about the mud and the bad weather, because most of us just think about, you know, the good things. And so imagine, if you will, being a descendant of those who had been in exile. Because the reality is, after 70 years in exile, probably most of the people who were taken from their home were not returning, right? It would have been their ancestors that would have been coming back. So for 70 years, the ancestors have heard the stories about the homeland. Can you imagine if you were taken from your home and you didn't want to be gone, and you'd heard that you were going to go back? All the prophets told you you were going to go back. Finally, when you're getting ready to go back, what information are you basing that desire on? Your personal experience or what you've heard from somebody else? They'd heard these stories about the good old days, about that beautiful place, about home. They heard about the best parts of it. My example was, if I was telling you about my favorite food, some of you know what my favorite food is. You know, my husband knows what my favorite food is. What is my favorite food? My own favorite is bacon, right? My favorite food is bacon. If I tell you, yes, you know what my favorite food is, bacon. I'm really good friends with bacon. If I am telling you about bacon, and the way that I cook it now is because Sammy's husband taught me to bake it in the oven instead of frying it, because it's less messy, takes less time. So I put it all on my pan, and then I sprinkle just a tiny little bit of granulated sugar and drizzle it with molasses. Oh, is that good, bad, or what are we doing? And put it, it's good though, right? Put it in the oven and bake it until the edges are just really crispy. And it's just smoky bacon. You get the smell. It's just perfect, right? Now, I've told you all these good parts about bacon. Are you hungry now? Well, no, because y'all had breakfast this morning. You might have had bacon this morning. I did not, so I've just been thinking about it all morning. But I didn't tell you about all the fat in the pan and all the calories and the molasses, because I want you to love it, right? What's that? And cleaning it up? Oh, yeah, it's kind of a thing to clean up. I'm not going to tell you those parts if I want you to love it too, right? So for 70 years, the ancestors have been telling the younger people about this beautiful place called home, and they can't wait to go. And then they hurry and they finally get to go there. And it reminds me so much, and you know I love this movie, I reference it a lot, is The Lion King. There's a scene, you guys familiar with The Lion King? Okay, there's a scene, and you guys, again, you know the answers, where Nala goes to the wilderness to get, or the forest, whatever, the beautiful place where Simba's been hanging out with Timon and Pumbaa, and he's bringing them back, and they all go rushing to the Pride Land, and they get to the edge of the land, and they can finally see it, and Timon says something to Simba. What does he say when they see it? Talk about your fixer-upper. That's what he says. It's all scorched and it's all burnt and it doesn't look as beautiful as what they've been hearing for all these years from Simba. And they're like, ew, this is what you were going on about? So the people have come home, and this is what they came home to. It was like watching The Lion King. If you haven't seen it, you got to go home and watch it now. And they see everything in shambles, but you're going, yeah, but this was written 18 years after they got home. Shouldn't things have been better by then? Well, you would think, right? But imagine if something happened to this worship space that we love our worship space. And we're gone for a long period of time. We come home. We can't wait to go to church again. And it takes us 18 years, and we can't get the first cornerstone to stand on top of the other one. 88 years total. The church has not been able to be open. That's the people that Haggai was speaking to. They've heard the stories. The excitement is real. They get there. It's gone. And for 18 years, they've been trying to rebuild it, and government wouldn't let it happen. And all of these entities, and as soon as they would set two stones on top of each other, someone would tear it down. And now, if you're 18 years into the rebuilding process that you've been so excited about, how do you feel now? How's your heart? Is it broken? Tired? I have nothing left to put into this. For 18 years I've been trying. This is what Haggai was speaking into. God spoke to Haggai, and he told him to tell the people. Well, he started out with the, how many among you were there when the temple was new? Who can remember what it looked like? And there was a few of the old timers who said, oh, I remember when the wood was beautiful and new and the brass was polished and all of the seats were full. I remember. But it's been nothing but heartbreak since. And to that, God says, now be encouraged. In the middle of all of that, because guess what? I am still with you, and my spirit is within you. God says, I'm going to shake things again. See, God had shaken things up when he took Israel out of Egypt, and he says, I've shown you once how much I loved you. I've given you the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire. I've shaken things up. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to shake it. You're going to know who I am by my power. God wanted the people to be excited, so excited that he said the latter glory of this house will be even greater than what you had to begin with. That would fill you with hope, wouldn't it? God was going to take these downtrodden people and reclaim them. And I used the image of reclaimed wood today. You ever take a word that you actually know what it means and Google it just to see what they tell you it is? I'm glad I'm not the only one who does weird things like that. Reclaimed wood, lumber that is carefully salvaged from something that used to be new and still has life in it. Isn't that lovely? Something that used to be new still has life in it. And it goes on saying, that which remains is then added to a new space in a new way, bringing its character and experience and its difference to make the space more appealing because of its unique beauty. Ever look in the mirror and think, I'm just a unique beauty. All the character, the bad weather, the mud. Reclaimed wood. Barnwood and a cross. I think these things well represent what God was saying to Haggai. That even though the people thought their best days were behind them, that everything they had was broken, and that it wasn't like what it used to be, God was saying, I'm not done with you yet. You just have all these years of beauty to add to bring character, to bring new life. And I want you to take all of the things, the new things, the old things, the redone things, and let them create something brand new to serve the people that you have to serve today in the way that they need to be served. Take the pieces and let God make something happen. God didn't want him to go back in time and make a fresh new thing. We want him to take a little of the old and a little of the new and let God create. That's what God does. That's what faith does. When we let God take what we have and reclaim it, so old or new, it is good. And it is beautiful. God does not discard weathered things. He redeems them, taking every scar and setback, every story, and building something beloved. When we bring our lives to God as we are, we give God raw material for his next building project. So this week, may your calling be to look at your church, to look around the world and ask what God might be asking you to help rebuild. Where can you offer the worn pieces of your life to God's renewing touch? Where can you help someone else see that the weather of their lives has beauty and purpose? And if you feel like you've been through some weather, know that God has reclaimed you, is not finished with you, and His Spirit is within you. The glory of what He's building in this house and church will be greater than what was ever here before. So take your courage and your prayers and lift them to the Builder. Heavenly Father, we thank you for not only claiming our lives, but reclaiming us, Lord. When we bring to you whatever felt broken or what we know is broken, you can rebuild it. You may not erase every scar, Lord, but you will let those things bring more character and beauty to us. And you will take what we have that we can help others with it. Thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for building through us. In your name we pray. Amen.